Amen, amen. Hey, can I ask all y'all to do something? Just stand up real quick or real slow. And people still coming in just to squeeze in and say hello to someone next to you, ask them their name, where they're from, and squeeze in. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Look to the person next to you, ask them, are they ready? Ready for what? Who's the man this morning?
Jesus!
Amen. If you were to ask the people you know that question, who is Jesus, you would get some wild answers. If you were to go down to the other day I was at a park, saw this woman playing with her kids. She had two kids. They're out there playing in the swings, sandbox, etc. This man drives up, gets out the car, starts walking towards them. And the kids run to the man and start saying, hey, daddy, hey, daddy. They jump in his arms. He hugs him. He plays a little bit. He gives the keys to the car he just got out of to the woman who was with the kids. She goes back to the car, hits the button, unlocks the door. She goes in the car, gets out some toys. They come out and they play with the toys. And they all play together. Then they all four leave together. They go to a house. They all walk in the house. They start watching TV. A phone rings. The man answers the phone, says, hey, dad, how you doing? He starts talking to the man on the phone. And then he gives the phone to the kids. The kids say, hey, grandpa. And they start talking to grandpa and then grandma. Then they hang the phone up. Then they have dinner together. And then the dad or the man who they call dads reads the kids a bedtime story, tucks them in bed. Then he and that woman sit down and watch TV, watch some CSI or what have you. Then they go to bed together in the same room, read the Bible, pray, go to bed and get up and do the same thing the next day. I want you to complete this sentence for me. This man or that man is that woman's what? What? For the most part, it's probably her husband. 99 times out of 99 times out of 100, that's her husband. He never had to tell you he was her husband. He just was her husband by what he did, by what people said to him, how they were treated, the access he had to the family, all proved that that was her husband, the father of those children. If Jesus really is God, there are so many other ways he can prove it without saying it, by how people treat him, by the worship he receives, by things, titles he gives himself, by how God the Father speaks to him, by things he does that only God can do. No man can just walk up to any woman and kiss her and go and live in her house and have kids call her dad in a normal circumstance, by the way. What we're going to look at today is a story in John chapter 5 where Christ displays his deity in seven different ways. And we're going to look at these seven ways and challenge you over the next month to read through the Gospels and look for evidence of these seven ways. So before we turn there, let's hold our Bibles up. Did we do that yet? Let's try that one more time. Let's hold our Bibles. Let's see your pens, and your lesson plan. Let's turn to John chapter 5. Now, as you turn there, I want to share with you a challenge I put out to the other services that are also going to put out to the whole church. We have on our website a chart that is going to lead you through these 7 points we're going to look at today. And if you go on our website, they're going to do this in small groups. You could do this on your own. I challenge you to do it with an accountability partner, is to read through the Gospels. That means you're going to read 3 chapters a day, is 89 chapters in 1 month. By the time we end this series and do the quiz in 1 month from now, you'll have read through all 4 Gospels. And all you're going to do is look for evidence of the 7 things we're going to talk about today and write the address in the Bible of these 7 things that we're going to talk about today. And these 7 things we're going to talk about today are 7 ways, not the only 7 ways or the only ways, but 7 ways Christ claims his own deity. And after today, you're going to see what I mean by what these 7 things are. And then you're going to start reading through the Bible and looking for evidence and just write them down. 3 chapters a day. you'll be through all four Gospels in 1 month. Amen? Okay, let's start with a definition. What is God? Our statement is that our belief is that Jesus is God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a moral leader. He is God. Let me give you a definition of God. God is the independent creator and preserver of all life and the only object of our worship. When I say independent, that means that he is self-existent. He was not brought into existence. He cannot be brought out of existence. He exists all on his own. He wasn't created, had no beginning and has no end. He always was and always will be. He is the creator of all things and the preserver of all things. And he's the only object of our worship. Now, nothing we know can fit that description other than God. You are to worship no idol. You are to worship no man. You are to worship nothing about yourself. You should never worship another person. You should never worship an image of anything. You should only worship God in spirit and in truth, and he is the preserver and creator of all things. He's the beginning and end of everything that there is. And so that's God. So that's what we're going to say Jesus Christ is. And we're going to look at seven attributes of God as if God was a man walking on earth in man's form. Let's read the story. Chapter 5, John, chapter 5, verse 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem was a sheep gate, a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down, they thought, at a certain time into the pool and stirred the water. And whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well by whatever disease that he had. A certain man was there for 38 years sick. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew he had already been in that condition a long time. And he said, do you want to be well? Now, let me ask you a question. Is 38 years long enough to be sick? I mean, you would think if you were sick for 38 years and someone asked you, did you want to be well? What would you say? Yes. Now, if Christ came to you and asked you that if he could heal you of a condition you had a long time, whether it be a day or 38 years, but you didn't like that condition, would you say yes right away? No, you don't. Let me ask you a question. How many times has God told you, I can transform your life, give you supernatural power, give you ability to look at all your problems and just laugh at them? If you would just do this, and you say, no. I'll start reading my Bible tomorrow. I'll start praying tomorrow. I'll stop being obedient tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. We do it all the time. Amen? Now, he's going to go up to this guy 38 years. He's going to go up to this guy 38 years. This guy's been sick for 38 years. And he says, do you want to be well? You would think that he would say yes, but no. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Everyone say three times, excuses, excuses, excuses. Go ahead, say it. I like how you got that high pitch, especially all the fellas. All the ladies say, hey. Verse 6, Jesus saw the man lying there and knew that he had been in that condition for a long time. And Jesus says, do you want to be well? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want your mind renewed? Do you want to have dunamis power from heaven? Do you want to have a vision for your life? Do you want to know what your purpose of your life is? Do you want to never worry again? These are the questions he asks us all the time. And these are the questions whose answers he has for us. Look what the man says. The sick man answered and said, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred, but while I am coming, another steps before me. That's not the question. Jesus didn't ask him, how come you can't be first in the pool? But he equated wellness with being first in the pool. When Christ asks you, do you want something, do not in your mind start to think how it's supposed to happen. Don't automatically say, okay, Christ, if you want me to be saved, that means you want me to do all this. Not necessarily. He saves us instantly. He forgives us instantly. Just like that. God's ways are not your ways. Whatever God asks you to do, I promise you, it'll never happen the way you think. So if God says to you, hey, you want to learn the Bible? Don't think, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, and I don't have the time. Don't think that. Just answer the question. Like when I'm challenging you to read through the Bible in 30 days, now some of y'all are going to say, yeah, I want to do it because I want to learn. Some of you are going to say, well, I don't have the time, and who am I going to do it with? And, you know, I have such a... You're making excuses. The question is, do you want to do it? Do you want to learn these things? That's all you need to know. Let God work out the details. If you are a person, and believe me, I'm a visionary, but I'm also into detail, very much detail, very analytical, sequential, numbers, facts. I'm into that all the time. But that always comes after the fact. In other words, God says, we're going to build this church. I don't sit there and go, okay. In order for us to do that, all this stuff got to happen. How are you going to do that, God? No. I know all the stuff that has to happen. But I also know that God's going to take care of that as very methodically walk through it, but he's going to take care of it. The reason you plan is so when God does it, you see how he did it. You can understand how big the miracle is. It doesn't mean you don't plan, but it means that you don't let your plans decide how it's going to happen. You let your plan, use your plans as a guide. And when God asks you, can I heal you? Can I restore your marriage? Can I restore your relationship with your father, your mother, your neighbor, whatever? The question you have to answer is yes. When God says, do I want to forgive you of your sin? I want to grant you salvation. The question is, the decision is yes or no. It's just yes or no. Do you want to be delivered from your addiction? Yes or no. Do you want not to be depressed anymore? Yes or no. That's it. Yes or no. Not, well, here's why it won't work, and here's why it didn't work before, and here's why you probably won't do it this time, God. And No. That's not the question. The question is yes or no. How many of you would love to have the joy of the Lord every day? Let me ask you this. How many of you want to go to hell? How many of you want to be miserable? How many of you always want to be considered a victim? Some of you in your mind, you're a victim. You're always, people always picking on you. People always, you're never going to be first because someone's always going to undercut you. You think that. And if you ever get close to succeeding, you sabotage it because you believe you're supposed to fail. Because the devil's got you convinced. And God wants to reverse that, but you have to want it too. You have to want it. Now, the devil has done bad things, so many bad things in your life, you couldn't believe it. There was this lady who walked in the grocery store. Every day she walked in this little bird called a stupid. Stupid lady. Every day she went to the grocery store, faithful, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, bought her little thing, boom, boom. And every day she walked out, she'd go to the grocery, pay for the food, walk, and right by the door, she was going out with her carriage. This bird would say, stupid lady, every single day. And he got so tired of this bird saying, stupid lady. So he went up to the manager. She went up to the manager and said, this is Miss Manager. I come here 3 times a week. I've been in this community 20 years. I should not have to deal with that bird calling me stupid lady every time I come in this store. So will you please do something about that bird? Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. You know, it's just the bird has problems, has, you know, issue with his tongue. I'll deal with the bird. So she comes the next day. She starts doing her shopping. She goes through, and she knows that bird sitting right there. He's just looking around, and she's walking past, and she's waiting for that bird to say, stupid lady. And right as she walks by, the bird looks at her. She looks at the bird, and the bird says, you know. What is it that you know about you? What is it that you know about you? Are you a child of God that God's going to take care of you? Or are you a disaster waiting to happen? The devil, it doesn't matter how many times the devil told you a failure, it doesn't matter because God can undo that. So that's the question he's asking. But look what he says. Verse 8. Jesus said, rise up, take up your bed, and walk. Immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Jesus is a cool brother. You want to be healed? Yeah. Get up and walk. And then he walks away. Now, by the time he got up, we're going to see in a minute, Jesus is gone. But this brother gets up. He hasn't walked in 38 years. He gets up and he walks. You know, he must have been tripping. Right? When you read, if you take the challenge to read through the Bible,
The first thing you're going to look for is, number one, Jesus displayed his deity, one, by exercising supernatural power through miracles. Every time you see a miracle, write the address of the Bible in your notes. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Where God displays power from outside the laws of nature and imposes that power on the laws of nature, overcoming them, making them do whatever he wants. It's an act of God. Where God can tell the weather to shut up. That's what he said. When he was in the boat, lying, sleeping, the storm was raging. The disciples thought they were going to die. They woke up and said, Jesus, we're going to die. Jesus says, I ain't dying. I'm God. That's your problem. And Jesus said, be muzzled, like putting a muzzle on a dog. And the storm stopped. Jesus had power over demons. He spoke to demons and people. We're going to see in a couple weeks. And he cast demons out of people. And they said, it's the Holy One of God. Don't torment us. They spoke to him and acknowledged who he is, as we're going to see in a couple weeks. And he made them go out with the word, be gone. Jesus spoke to plants. He cursed a tree, and the tree never bore any fruit. Jesus spoke to handicapped people, healed people's disease and ailments. He healed the blind. He healed the mute. He healed the deaf. He cast out demons. He had all kinds of miracles. He walked on water. He had other people walk on water, and he gave other people power to do miracles. It's all through the Bible. Who can do that but God? And the Bible tells that his works, the works that he did, matter of fact, look at chapter 5, verse 36. Chapter 5, verse 36. It says, I have greater witness than John for the works which the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do bear witness that the Father has sent me. The very works I do are telling you that I came from God. So that's number one. Number two, the second way he displayed his deity was he claimed authority over the law. The law is the Old Testament. And one of the things about the law was that on the Sabbath, you were supposed to do no work. Now, when the Bible... Let's read a little further because I want you to read this. Look what it says in verse 10. Therefore the Jews said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Because on the Sabbath you're not supposed to do work. He answered and said, He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. And he says, well, who's the man who said, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know, because Jesus would have withdrawn, being a multitude in that place. He walked away fast. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come to you. Verse 16. For this reason, the Jews sought to persecute Jesus to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. It was illegal to do work on the Sabbath. And in their analytical, technical, legalistic, religious mind, carrying your mat was work. So he was sinning. And so whoever told him to carry his mat and do work on the Sabbath was supposed to die. Jesus is like, let me tell you something. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. See, when you read through the Gospels, you're going to see many instances where Jesus says, you heard it said before, but now listen to me. Now, by the way, if you ever hear me say that, you need to leave. If you ever hear me say, the Bible says this, but I have something better for you. No. You need to stand up and say, blasphemy, and then leave. Matter of fact, take me out and stone me, okay? If you can catch me, I'll be running up. Let me read something to you. Matthew 5:21, Jesus said, you have heard it said long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders is subject to judgment. You heard, that's true, that's in the Bible. But then Jesus says, but I tell you, anyone who's angry with his brother is subject to judgment. Matthew 5:27, you heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you, anyone who lusts after a woman has already committed adultery. Matthew 5:33, again, you heard it said, do not break an oath, but I tell you, don't ever swear. Matthew 5:43, you heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies. The Bible says in Matthew 23:10, nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, that's the Christ me. I'm your only teacher.
Matthew 24:35, my word will never pass away. My word will never pass away. John 5:24, he who listens to my word, what is he saying? That my word is God's word because I'm God. In the beginning was the word was with God. In the beginning was Logos. The Logos was with God. The Logos was God. Logos is the rational thought of God's truth, the word of God. Logos is word in Greek. I am the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt among you. It is me. It's my word. My word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. Listen to what I say. What God is saying is I'm God. And when you read through the Bible, and someone starts telling you, saying that the Bible says this, or the law says this, but let me tell you, let me take it to another level. He's not canceling it. He's not saying it's wrong. He's taking it to another level. He's teaching the spiritual meaning of the word, the eternal principle in the word. Why? Because he taught it. He wrote it. So read through the Bible, and you're going to see all these instances. And what these guys are saying is that you broke the Sabbath. Look what Jesus says in verse 17. It says, Jesus answered and said, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Now, what Jesus is saying is, look, the Bible says that God worked 6 days. He created 6 days. He created, and on the seventh day he rested, and so too shall man work 6 days, and on the seventh day rest. That's where the Sabbath came from, and you might want to make a note of that. 6 days work, 1 day rest. Let me say that one more time. 6 days work, 1 day rest. Our Monday through Friday at 3:30 is a cultural thing. I say 3:30 because people leave work early on Friday traditionally. God says 6 days. But what happened was God didn't stop working. God didn't stop being God on the seventh day. He just stopped creating. I was in my yard the other day, and this little bird came on this pole like 20 feet from me. She started singing. Ah! And then he looked. Then he looked back at me. Ah! And then he looked. He did it like 20 times. So I'm just sitting there looking at him, and he just... And then he look over here. I was just marveling at this little tiny bird that God gave hollow wings to so he could fly. Birds have hollow wings. I don't know if you knew that. Feathers. The ability to know where he's in space like a gyroscope in his head. And he just flew away. Then I was watching Discovery Channel yesterday about these elephants of the tsunami. When the tsunami happened, the elephants, before the wave hit, ran to the mountains. They took off. These elephants that were chained to poles that were used to give people rides, they broke the chains and frantically ran up the mountain because on the bottom of their feet, they have sensors, seismic sensors that can feel vibrations in the ground that God gave them. They felt the earthquake and knew. I guess they knew a wave was coming, but they knew the earthquake was over there. That's why they ran that way. And they have layers and layers and layers of nerve endings in the bottom of their feet that are very sensitive to the ground and movements to the ground. And so they felt the earthquake and started running. And the story was about this little girl who was on the beach taking an elephant ride. And this elephant turned and ran away from the beach. And she's holding on for her life, not knowing what's going on. And the elephant's saying, listen, you can stay here, but I got to go. And the guy who was giving her the ride, he's trying to hold the elephant back, which is really kind of foolish. And the elephant's just, we got to go. And the elephant ran away from the beach, and the wave hit that beach, saved that little girl's life. My point is this, that when God stopped creating, he didn't stop being God. On the seventh day, on the eighth day, and the ninth day, he was still preserving life. What Jesus is saying here is that even though it's the Sabbath, you don't understand, God is still God on the Sabbath, therefore I have to do the same thing God does. Why? Because I came from God. I am God. They knew that. You know what they said? Look what it said in verse 18. It says, therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said God was his father, making himself equal with God. And we'll get to that in a minute. Look at number three in your notes. He exercised spiritual authority only assigned to God. He exercised spiritual authority only assigned to God. One of the spiritual, and probably the main one, is that he forgave sin. Jesus forgave sin of another paralytic in Mark chapter 2. When he forgave the guy's sin, the Pharisees and the religious said, "Who does this man think he is? Only God can forgive sin." Exactly. Exactly. Look what he says to this paralytic, this guy right here in this story. Look what it says in verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found them in the temple and said, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." When Jesus said sin no more, what happened was they associated sin and sickness. And many times Christ would forgive people. The paralytic that was lowered through the roof, Christ said, "Your sins are forgiven you." And they started thinking in their mind, who can forgive sin but God? He is blaspheming God. Blaspheming God means that you either say a curse against God or you attributed attributes of God to a created thing. That was a sin, punishable by death. So when Christ is saying, "I can forgive like God," they said, "Blasphemy. That's a sin. We have to kill you." That was the law. He knew that. When Christ had them break the Sabbath, he knew that. So he made it even worse. He said, "Now I'm going to break the Sabbath. I'm going to tell you why I'm breaking the Sabbath, because I'm God." They were like, "Oh, we got to kill you now." It's exactly what he was doing. Look at number 5 in your notes, or number 4. It says Jesus gave himself titles that made him equal to God. One of the titles was that he was God's son. Now, before I get to that, there's titles like Son of Man, which he's the only one to use it about himself, and he used it more than anything else. Son of God, he referred to himself as the Lord. In Matthew 7, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So he says himself, Lord, and God is his Father. So he gives him, he says Christ about himself. We're going to see in a minute. He refers to himself all these different titles that are all God: Lord, Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, Holy One, Mighty One, on and on and on. And we're going to see some more of those titles when we see the demons address him as the Holy One of God. But one of those titles is that God is his Father. Look what it says in verse 18. The Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal to God. In the Gospels, 172 times he refers to God as his Father. Now, what he's saying is that God's not my Father because I was born again. I came from my Father. And you're going to see me seated at the right hand of my Father. And I had the same authority and responsibility to minister on the Sabbath like my Father. John chapter 10, verse 30, he says, "I and the Father are one." Oh, they didn't like that. So every time you see him say Father, in their mind, they're thinking, "Man, you can't say that. Because if I told you, yeah, I came from, my Father sent me, I do the works of my..." If I said that to you, you would think something was up. Jesus said it over and over and over again. Let me read something to you. In the Passion of Christ movie, when Christ was arrested and they brought him down, it was a big trial in front of the Sanhedrin. They had these funny hats on, the robes, and the crowd in the back, and they spit on him and beat him. I don't know if you remember that scene. It was right when they first arrested him. And they asked him this question. In Matthew 26, verse 63, the high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God..." Basically, put your hand on the Bible and raise your right hand and swear to tell the truth, nothing but truth, so help you God. And he says, "I don't need to swear because I am God, but I'm telling you the truth because I am truth." And then it says, "Tell us if you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, and then the Son of God. Are you Christ, the Son of God? Tell us." Jesus says, "Well, not really. I just want you to think that. I'm just a prophet." No, that's not what he said. He said, "Yes, it is as you say." What does that mean? What does that mean? It means yes. Are you Miles McPherson? Yes. Are you that woman's husband? Yes. Are you the pastor of the Rock? Yes. Yes means yes. Are you the Christ? They're asking Jesus now. Are you the Christ, the Son of the living God? Are you the Messiah we've been waiting for? Did you come from heaven to save the world? Yes, it is as you say. And then he gets even worse. He says, replied, "But I say to you,
In the future, after I rise from the dead, you're going to see the Son of Man, which is the title he gave himself, at the right hand of the Mighty One, coming with the clouds of heaven. Whoa, Junior. Basically, not only am I the Christ, not only am I the Son of the living God, the Son of God, you're going to see me seated at the right hand of the Mighty One, and I'm going to be coming on the clouds. Now, you have to understand something. In Daniel, the Old Testament, there's a prophecy about the coming of the Lord, and it's those very words. The Son of Man coming on the clouds to usher in the kingdom. They knew that. Just like when he said, I am, they knew that, what that meant. Before Abraham was I am, before Abraham was Jehovah, they knew what he was saying. They know what he's saying here, because right after he said that, that you're going to see the Son of Man coming on the clouds, the high priest says, blasphemy. We must kill him. He is deserving of death. And that's exactly what happened in the movie when they started spitting on him and hitting him and ripping their clothes, if you remember. Why? Because they said we have to kill him because what he just admitted to was being God. They knew that. You know, there's a movie with Chris Tucker, and I don't know the name of the movie. You don't know who Chris Tucker is? He's a comedian. If you don't know what he is, he's hilarious. He was in Jackie Chan's two movies, Rush Hour 1, Rush Hour 2. Okay, sorry. Brother's hilarious. Do you know who Heather Locklear is? Okay. Heather Locklear is the ageless wonder. That girl hasn't aged in 20 years, but she's about that big. Okay? She is not, in any stretch of the imagination, fat. In this movie, he says to her, she's fat. There's a word, P-H-A-T, fat, which means she's pretty. She did not know that. So she was offended. But he says, she's fat. And what he was saying was, she's fine. But she didn't understand the word. These guys understood the words, what he was saying. They understood what he was saying. And when he says, I'm the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, seated at the right hand of the Mighty One, coming on clouds, he was speaking in their little code, I'm the guy Daniel spoke about. Before Abraham was, I am. I'm the guy the Bible talked about. When he says, Abraham looked forward to seeing me, what's he saying? That Abraham was looking forward to the Messiah. Me. They knew exactly what he was saying. You need to know what he's saying. Number five. Jesus claimed to have authority over things in heaven. He claimed to have authority over things in heaven. Look at verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. But the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Who has power to give life but God? Who has power to judge but God? What Jesus is saying is that I got power to give life and take it, and the authority to judge you. Now, if he's not God, I still want to be on his good side. Because if he's the one who's going to judge me, I want to be on his good side. But just write down Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, 18, write that down. And then write down Matthew 25, 31 to 36. In Matthew 28, 18, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He has all authority on earth. But let me read this to you in Matthew 25, because we're going to see the different types of authority he has, or evidences of authority he has in heaven. Listen to all these things he has. It says, when the Son of Man himself, he's speaking, comes in his own glory. One, he has his own glory with all the angels. He has his own angels. He will sit on the throne, his own throne, in heavenly glory. He has his own throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people as the shepherd divides the sheep. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And then the Bible says the king will say to those on his right, he's the king. How do we know? Because it says, come you who are blessed of my Father. Talk about himself. He has his own throne. He has his angels. He has his own glory. He's going to separate people. He's going to judge people. The brother's got juice. When you read through the Gospels, you're going to see all these things that Jesus is going to talk about, his angels. He's going to talk about coming on the clouds. He's going to talk about his throne, his glory. The glory he had with the Father before the foundations of the earth, you're going to see him talk about. Who is this figure that has glory with the Father before the foundations of the earth? Who is this person that has all the authority in heaven but God himself? And he's just saying it in code. He's just saying it. And you just got to know it. You just got to know it. Number six, Jesus accepts worship. Jesus accepts worship. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he told the devil, "It is written, you shall love and serve and worship God only, and him you shall serve. You shall never worship anything." Let me emphatically tell you, worship no one and nothing but God. No idols, no figurines, not even a wooden cross. It's only wood. You worship God in spirit and in truth. No image of the invisible God should you make or imagine in your mind or worship ever. It's a sin. So why did Jesus accept worship? When he was walking on water and he went into the boat, as soon as he went into the boat, the storm stopped. And the Bible says his disciples worshiped him. When he rose from the dead, Mary Magdalene saw him grab his legs and his feet. And the Bible says she worshiped him. When his disciples saw him after the resurrection, the Bible says they worshiped him. When he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and they laid palms in front of him and quoted scripture that he was fulfilling the entry of the Messiah, of the city by the Messiah, they worshiped him by doing that. And he never once said in all these instances to stop. When the woman who had a bleeding problem for 12 years, she came and knelt down at his feet and worshiped him. He didn't tell her to get up. When Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, came and fell down his feet and asked him to heal his daughter and worshiped him, the Bible never, he never said to get up. He accepted worship. When Doubting Thomas said, "Unless I see the handprints, the nail prints in his hand, and the spear prints in his side, and the nail prints in his feet, I will not believe he rose from the dead." Jesus walks into the room and shows his nail prints and spear prints, the scar on his side. And Thomas says, "My God, my Lord." He worshiped him, acknowledged that he was God. And what did Jesus say? That's right. He said to him, "Blessed are you that you've seen and believe, but more blessed are those who haven't seen these nail prints and believe that I'm God." He was worshiped. Nobody in the Bible ever accepted worship. It was a sin to worship even the angels. You do not worship angels. The angels worship God. Christ is being worshiped. Number seven. The last one, he made afterlife promises that can only be kept by God. What does that mean? That he made promises that he would fulfill after he died. If I ever got sick and was in the hospital dying, knew I was going to die, and we had a little video coming here and I was saying, "Oh, my blessed Rock, it's been an honor to be your pastor these last 97 years. But it is now time for me to go the way of the earth, and I gotta die. But I'm gonna come back in 40 days after my funeral. Meet me at Mount Soledad Cross, and we will start again." You need to say to yourself, look at the person next to you and say, "Their brother's got too many drugs in him, okay? When I die, I ain't coming back here. I'm done." You know what Jesus says? "When I die, 3 days I'm coming back. So just wait around. It's only 3 days. Y'all wait around. They're going to put me in that tomb. I'm going to walk out. I'm going to walk around." And what he did, he walked around for 40 days. The Bible says, the 40 is the number of testing in the Bible. He walked 40 days. Then he ascended to heaven, all in public. And then here's what he said. "When I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And then one day, I'm going to come back." If someone tells you that, they're either God or they're crazy. Jesus ain't crazy. He's coming back. When he comes back, what he's going to do? Sheep on the right, goats on the left. The faithful believers on the right, the wannabes on the left, or the people who rejected him on the left. The people on the right to everlasting life, the people on the left to judgment. You have to decide, do you want to be on the right or on the left? Now,
If Christ says to you, I want to forgive you, will you let me? Don't tell him, well, I got issues. You don't understand. I've been to counselors. I got a jacked up family. My DNA ain't right. Yes or no? Yes or no? I stopped doing cocaine in one day. A year and a half, one day. That is not scientifically realistic. Good thing I didn't know that. What God wants to do in your life is not realistic. So don't think realistic, think supernatural. God, I just want you to do whatever you do. That's it. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Fellas, if you were single and some beautiful woman that you thought was beautiful says, I want to be your wife forever and love you every day, are you going to sit there and analyze that? Are you going to say, can we sign you up right now, girlfriend? I mean, you may do a quick, but after that, you're ready to roll, right? Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for being God. We thank you that you have given us the best offer there is. And Lord, I pray people don't think about it anymore. Don't analyze it. Don't scrutinize. I pray that they just by faith accept you as their Savior. Today may be your day. God wants to know. Here's his question. Can I love you? Can I forgive you? Can I cleanse your heart and your mind? If today you are ready to accept his offer, pray this prayer with me. If today you're ready to receive forgiveness once and for all your sin, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe you love me, and I believe you have a plan for my life. I believe you died for my sin. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please come live in my heart. Please be my Savior and my Lord. Be Christ in my life. I surrender my life to you. Thank you, Jesus. As all of our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, we're going to ask you to stand just like the man in the story. And by standing, you are given public confession, like the man in the story, that Jesus has touched your life. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you pray that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, today I want you to forgive me, just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Stand to your feet and acknowledge that God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. 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 Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Stay standing. Good. God bless you. God bless you, too. God bless you. Yes, we see you. We see you. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. Jesus wants to know, are you ready? Don't analyze. Don't figure. Don't calculate. Just trust me. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways and thoughts are above yours. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing to do one more thing. As the man in the story walked, we're going to ask you as we welcome you to the family of God to come out of your seat and walk down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. God bless you, man. Stay right here. Stay right there. All right, stay right there. You stand right there with that brother. Good. Amen. Amen. God bless you. 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 How you doing? The Bible says that if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you, and he will forgive you. He does, because that's what he does, and he's God. And when God has, when he forgives, he remembers no more, completely forgets. And I want to encourage all of y'all standing here, and all of y'all, God has forgotten your sin. He's ready to move on. Stop thinking. Stop worrying. Stop thinking he's going to get you. He wants you to trust him. And here's my challenge to you. 30 days. Get somebody to do this with and read through the Bible. Go on the website, get this little chart, or just use your lesson plan and look for the evidences of the seven things we talked about and just mark it down. Your faith will do this, guaranteed. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. The more Word of God you read, the more Word of God you understand, the more your faith grows. That's how it works. That's how it works. 30 days is 89 chapters. 3 a day is 90. Amen? Give or take. I don't know if it's 30 days, but it's 4 weeks, 28 days plus three, two. Let's pray for these people. Then we're going to have all y'all walk out that way in a minute. And then we'll see you next week. Next week, we'll continue the series on Who is Jesus Really? Amen? Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for being God to us. Thank you so much that you love us. And Lord God, we pray that we would let you be God, that we would know how much God you are. You are God in every way there is God. We pray we will let you be our God. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have you all walk that way. Where's my, there we go.